All right, welcome back, everybody, to another season of Tigers Baseball, and so another episode of the Detroit News Tigers podcast. I'm Tony Paul, and I'm joined, as always, by my colleague down in Florida right now, from sunny Florida. He's nice and tan, Chris McCoskey. Chris, how's it going?
Good. It's not a tan, Tony. It's high blood pressure. I think I've made that point before. It's still true.
I can't tell. The video on your screen's a little dark. You look tan. All right. Appreciate you joining us here. I know you've been down in Florida a while. We're coming to the end 10 days from now. We're recording this on March 18th. 10 days from now, Tigers will be in Chicago for the season opener. Crazy that baseball season is already here. It's been an interesting spring down in Lakeland. Probably a little bit different than maybe the last couple of years for the Tigers under Scott Harris. He's put together an interesting group of players, interesting roster. And I guess we'll just start out by we got 10 days left. What's going on down there as far as the roster? What battles are we looking at? How's this thing shaking up?
Yeah, I mean it's going down to the wire. The position players, the 13 position players, I think are set. There's still some lingering wonder about Gio Urshela, just from a simple fact that he came in late. He's coming off a serious injury, a pelvis fracture. Hasn't really shown a lot of thump in his bat, but he's making contact, getting hits, getting two strike hits. He looks good at third base. So I think that's going to be okay to start the season. So the 13 position players are set, which means Ryan Kreider, who's had a great camp, probably isn't going to start the season with the Tigers. Justin Henry Molloy, who's starting to hit the ball really well, is not going to start the season with the Tigers. Akil Baddoo is going to start the season in AAA. Blythe Madras is another guy, is an outfielder who got some time last year with the Astros, is a good player who we could see this year, but he's not going to start with the team. But the real battles are on the pitching side. And if you want, we'll start with the starting pitchers, because one really good starting pitcher is going to start the year on the AAA rotation. Tarek Skubal is the opening day starter. That's been announced. Kenta Maeda and Jack Flaherty both signed $14 million contracts. They're right on the ball club. They're in the rotation. Yeah. So that leaves two spots being fought over by Matt Manning, Casey Mize, and Reese Olson. And the way it looks now, I mean, they're dead even. All three are pitching lights out. Manning has been a revelation. Manning's a new cat. I think Manning's going to have a good year if he stays healthy. Mize has been really good coming off his surgeries. And Reese has been money. But Reese is the youngest. Reese, they can do some service time stuff with him, and it might be beneficial to keep him in the minors for a while, and, you know, kind of so he won't become a super two and can get an extra year of arbitration out of them. So I think Reese is probably the odd man out in that group, and it's unfair. It's so unfair, but it's the reality.
Now, you caught up with Reese recently to talk to him about that, and here's what he had to say.
How are you doing with the fact where we are in camp and the decisions that have to be made? Are you, when you go to sleep at night, is it something that's in your head, or are you just...
Yeah, I'm just trying to focus on what I can control, you know, just trying to go out there when it's my day to just throw quality pitches, continue to build on what I've done this spring, get to this point, and I'm just trying to do what I do.
Is it getting harder as it gets toward the end?
it's all the same. It's just when you go out there, it's still baseball, so
100%.
Control what you can control.
Yeah, you know what? Roster battles are tough, but when you have them, it's a sign that, in this case, that you have some talent, and that's a good thing.
Right. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And AJ's made that point. Like, you don't want to be in the camps we were at, where the decisions are between lesser players and worse players. You know what I mean? And that's what the decisions have been made. I mean, it was last year, Jacob Barnes. And so there's a couple guys that were the discussions we were having about roster cuts were people like Jake and Jacob Barnes. No slight against Jake, he's a good guy, but you know, they're not the same. We're talking about how well Reese Olson in the bullpen is even more. Like, the last two spots in the bullpen are hotly being contested.
Let's go there.
What we got? Yeah, the six that are going to make the team. This is a no brainer: Alex Lang, Jason Foley, Shelby Miller, who free agent looks right. Really good. Will Vest has had a rough start. He's coming on strong lately. And then the two lefties, Tyler Holton and Andrew Chafin, That's your six, okay? I have Bo Brisky and Joey Wentz making the last two. But in that conversation, Drew Anderson, who a lot of people in Tigerland have not heard of, is a really good pitcher. He's been in Japan the last 2 years. When he left the big leagues, he was throwing like 93. He's throwing 97 now with a really good slider and some other secondary pitches. He's in the mix with Alex Baedo, who's probably going to end up being a starting pitcher in Toledo to start the season. Trey Wingenter came back on a minor league deal, and he's pitched very well. Miguel Diaz is a really good pitcher who seems to never quite make the team, and he's out of options. So we may lose Miguel Diaz off the roster. And Andrew Vasquez, another lefty who was up last year, non-roster. They're all in that hunt. I think Joey Wentz, has really responded to the bullpen role. His fastball, he's changed his fastball mercifully because it was getting tagged last year pretty good. He's changed all the metrics on his fastball, and it's been really effective. He's also out of options, and they don't want to lose him. And so I think that if it's a tiebreaker, Joey's going to be on the roster to start the season. And Brisky's just earned it. Brisky's got so much stuff. And when he's in the strike zone, he's he can do a lot of different things, Tony. He can long relief. He can spot start. He can even be a leverage short inning guy. So I think that's what it's looking right now, but it's going to the wire.
Well, it's going to be an exciting final 10 days. Let's go back to the position side of things. And if you are going to give us the opening day lineup right now, what would it be? Okay.
Well, I'm going to assume so it's a right hand. We have to play this game now. It's a right hand starter.
Yeah. Well, it's not Dylan Cease.
it's not Dylan Cease, right? There was no tears shed over that trade.
Poor times in Chicago, my Lord.
Yeah. Well, they had their window. They let it shut. Yeah. No pity. Okay. Here it's pretty simple. I mean, I think Jake Rogers can be the catcher, right? Carson Kelly's having a great camp, and Jake Rogers is going to probably start opening day. Your infield is Torkelson at first, Cole Keith at second, Javi Baez at short, and I'm going to go ahead and say Gio Urshela will start at third base on opening day, and then the outfield will be Riley Green, in either left or right, depending on how AJ sees where the ball is going to go from the opposing team. Parker Meadows, who's come on really. Parker Meadows is going to be a ton of fun to watch this year.
So athletic.
He flies.
Yeah.
He flies, man. And then Mark Canna will be the other corner, and then Kerry Carpenter will probably be the DH. And that'll rotate around. Matt Vierling is going to play a ton. He's going to play in the outfield and the infield. And then the mix and match guys are Zach McKinstry, and Andy Ibanez. Mm-hmm. And in what AJ did last year with the matchup game, he was going to do it again, and it was really effective last year. So it's a good tool that he has.
Well, I want to talk about two of the guys in the opening day lineup. One, because maybe the Tigers didn't go out and get that huge bat that maybe the fans wanted. The big offensive acquisition that they did get was Mark Canna, the outfielder in the trade with the Brewers. And I'm just curious what you see from him, because I get the sense that he's kind of being brought in, obviously, to produce, but also to be, you know, a little bit of an elder statesman for this team.
I think that's true on both counts, and I think he's doing that. He's not a guy that's going to be running through there and talking to guys. He's not a rah rah guy. He's a guy that if you need something, come to him. He's wide open. He's willing to share his knowledge. He gives a great at bat, and that's one of the things that Scott Harris talked about when he came in. This guy, if you want to watch what the Tigers are talking about in terms of working in at bat and commanding the strike zone, Canna does that. He also hits the ball, man. He also produces when he does swing. But he's 35, so like I don't think he's playing 162 games. You know what I mean? I think there's going to be some. He's going to play some at first base. He's going to DH some. He's going to sit some, because that's why he's got Carpenter there and guys that a lot of guys can rotate through there. But in terms of the mentorship, he's a pretty solid dude in that clubhouse. Quietly solid, I'll say.
Well, Scott Harris, you mentioned he talked about Mark Canna earlier this offseason, talked about what his impact could be, and let's hear what he had to say right here.
Yeah, we had a busy offseason. We started fast with the Canna trade. We were trying to find ways to increase the overall talent in the organization. The two main priorities for us were we wanted to add a veteran bat that could strengthen the middle of our order, but also mentor our young hitters. those guys are really hard to find, but we found one in Mark Canna, and we're thrilled to add him to this group. The second priority for us is we wanted to be self-aware about the team that we're about to run out there in 2024. It's going to be a lineup that's going to be filled with young hitters. As we know from watching baseball over the last decade or so, sometimes an offense filled with young hitters is a little bit unpredictable. And so one of the priorities for us is we wanted to strengthen the pitching side of the ball. We wanted to make sure that we had a staff, you know, a rotation and a bullpen that could keep games close. We felt like we added significant pieces to both the rotation, you know, with Jack and Kenta, and to the bullpen with Chafin and Shelby. You guys are going to see when we start getting on the mound, like, there's a lot of stuff in this pitching staff, and there's going to be a lot of competition for the spots. That should help us keep games close and take some pressure off the young hitters and allow them to have a bigger influence on the outcome if it's a closer game.
All right, the other one, the elephant in the room.
Big elephant. Yeah. Big $25 million elephant.
Yeah. Javi Baez, you know, all the positive talk, you know, I mean – you know, what are the Tigers going to do here? I mean, like, you know, people want, you know, the fans are outraged. What are they supposed to do? What are they supposed to say? I mean, he's going to be a Tiger for a while. That's not going to change. But hasn't exactly been the most promising strength at the plate.
No, it hasn't. Like, the results wise, it hasn't.
What's going on there? How's it going to impact this team? And, I mean, how's this going to play out? He's not going anywhere. I don't know what the fans expect Scott Harris to do.
Yeah, I don't love the vilification of dudes, man. I mean, if Javi was a jerk, if Javi was like a lazy guy and a disruption he's not any of those things, man. He's a guy who's 4 years past his best years. You know, that happens. Dudes age differently. He's not the same player he was when he was a Cub, not even close. And yes, he's been forthright and upfront saying last couple of years he's played through core and back and low back pain, significant pain. And it altered the way he went into the box to compensate for the pain. He changed his hitting mechanics and it got him in some horrible habits. This is not an excuse for chasing pitches out of the zone. He's made that very clear. That's always been part of his baseball DNA. He did it when he was good. It's what he does. It's part of his thing. But he can't impact the baseball like he used to when he does make contact. And so he's gone through, starting over in the offseason, he's gone through a process of getting himself back to where he was. He's changed his stance. Problem is, 31 years old, you know, when you get into competition, you revert back to your old ways. Like, we watch him, in beginning of camp, in batting practice, his load was good. His swing was good. He wasn't doing that bat waggle. Where his first move was to put the bat over his head, basically, and then try to get to the ball. None of that was happening. Then we get into the games, and all that was happening again. So it's a slow process. His body's good. His process is good. Nobody wants to hear that because it's not generating results right now.
Right.
And that's when I say it's a work in progress, because it is. Right. He's 31 years old. He is who he is. But given the changes, it's a process. Now, you ask me what's going to happen. Here's what I think is going to happen. I don't think he's going to hit 300, man.
Thanks for that expert analysis.
I'm just saying. I'm here for you guys. No, but like all the algorithms project him to hit like 240 with like a 6-something OPS. Tigers will take that in a heartbeat, man. They'll take it in a heartbeat. And he's going to play. He played good defense last year. He had some throwing errors. He's fixed that this year.
There's the key. You at least get a guy who, I mean, yes, he had some errors last year. You still get a plus defender at short. So that's a positive. You still get that. That's not what they wanted when they signed him. They wanted a two-way player.
It's not going to ever be commensurate with the money.
Right.
People, the money is spent. Like, it's not like anything that can change. Like you said, you can't change that. That money is spent. That's dead money right now, whether you get rid of them or whether you try to get something out of them. And here's the thing that's going to happen, Tony. If he stays on the path that he's on and he's not producing – and he has the kind of at bats he had last year, he's going to become a platoon player. Right. And people are going to howl. How can you pay a guy $25 million platoon? But you know what? You're trying to win games.
Right.
So if he rakes against left-handed pitching, let him rake against left-handed pitching and play McKinstry or have Kreidler up here to play otherwise. You know what I mean? So I think that's how, if he doesn't get right at the plate, that's what's going to happen. He's going to bat eighth and platoon.
Well, you said it, you know, it's about winning games. And so eventually they're going to have to make the decisions that are, you know, aren't in line with that. And if they're in position to contend this year, you know, come June, July, then they're going to have to make those decisions. And
yeah, they're not eating it. They're not eating $98 million, man. No, they're not.
Speaking of that really quick, and then we'll get out of here for this first edition of the podcast. And by the way, you can check out all of Chris's coverage from Lakeland at DetroitNews.com. For 10 more days, and then we're playing real games. And on that front, we'll talk about more about this ahead of opening day. We'll talk more about, you know, break down the Central a little bit more, but just from the, you know, just from right now, you've seen the Tigers for all spring. They're in what everyone likes to say is a winnable division. You know, everyone seems to think the Twins are pretty good. Some people think the Indians are better than, or the Guardians, sorry. It's been 3 years.
I do the same thing.
The Guardians. Some people think the Guardians are better than I do. I don't think they're great. I don't think Kansas City's quite there yet. And then Chicago's a dumpster fire. Just really quick, and we'll get into this more in the next pod, but you've seen the Tigers. Where is this team, and are they going to contend this year?
I think they're going to contend in the division, yes. I think it's fun where they're at. This is like the ripening year. This is like where all these guys, for the first time, Torkelson, Green, Carpenter, they're the heart of the order now. There's no Miguel Cabrera to fall back on. There's no, you know, before that Jonathan Scope, or before that whoever the guy was that was a veteran guys that were supposed to take them over the top. This is their team now. Yeah. This is the first time they're dealing with that. It's going to be fun to watch them. Right now, man, it's a great room. The vibe is great. There's no clicks. There's no – and all this intangible stuff is there. The intangibles are there. If the pitching stays healthy, and they have a – I think they have a hellacious starting staff. I really do. Maybe arguably the best in the division, maybe for sure the best in the division if they stay healthy. So that's going to keep them in the contention. I don't think that they're ready to win playoff series. I don't think they're a legitimate World Series contender yet. They're not enough dudes yet to do that. So I'm going to say Lynn Henning thinks is 85 wins. I'm not sure it's that much. I think it's right around 500, maybe a little over. I'm not an algorithm. I don't know how to do that. I'm just going to say they're going to be in. I think they're going to be in it. We're going to have a fun September because it's going to be a battle.
If you could pick one player who comes, not Green, not Torkelson, not Carpenter, not one surprise player this year who you've seen in the spring who could open some eyes this season in Detroit.
Wow. Well, I guess we're talking position player, yeah?
Yeah, let's go position player.
Well, I've been high on Matt Vierling, and maybe that doesn't fit this category, but I think that Matt Vierling is going to be a huge piece of this puzzle. But I'm going to say Colt Keith. Okay. Colt Keith is just – I mean, he's a rookie. He's never played a big league game in his life. He's never been in a big league camp until now, and, he's just there like he belongs. He's going to hit. He's going to feel good at well enough to not be noticed. You know what I mean? He's not going to lose games for you defensively. I think Colt Keith is the real deal. I think he's a solid second baseman, pushing 300, going to hit some gaps, going to hit some home. I don't know how many home runs he's going to hit at Comerica Park, but he's going to do some damage up. I'll pick him as that guy.
All right. Obviously, Colt Keith signed to the long-term extension before he played a game, which to me really opened my eyes to this front office. Like, that's playing chess.
Yeah.
They did with Colt Keith. That's what good teams do. The Braves do it all the time. The Rays and the Tigers identified Colt Keith as that guy. And
you got to be right about him, though.
You do, but if you're not, it's not going to cost you a ton, right?
Well, like Vaughn Grissom, right? They did it with Vaughn Grissom, and he's out of their organization now. So it's like,
well, that's what I look at with Keith, though. But if what was the extension? 20 some million on its surface.
Yeah. So it could be as much as 82, right?
Right. So if they're wrong, they're out 27 million or whatever it is, you know.
Right.
But if they're right, they could save tens of millions. And so that's why I think they're playing chess. And I like that move, and that kind of really opened my eyes to this front office. So that's gonna do it. I know Chris has to get to the beach.
Shush.
Morning tan. So we'll do this again before opening day. We'll get back to the podcast to preview the season a little bit more in depth, but for now that'll do it. Again, go to DetroitNews.com for all Chris's Tigers coverage from Lakeland. He's coming back home. The Tigers start in 10 days. I can't believe we're almost here. And we'll do it again in about a week. Chris, thank you. We'll talk soon.
All right. Enjoy your little Oakland University, boys.
Oh, how about it? March Madness, baby.
Let's go.
All right. Thanks, man.
Yep. See ya.